What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to let you know about this wonderful platform called Anchor. It is one of the number one free podcasting platforms that allows you to both not only record, edit, and design your podcast to your needs, where you're able to push out and distribute your podcast to all your listeners across all the different podcasting platforms, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, they are connected to it, and they're a wonderful platform. It's totally free. You can check them out at anchor.fm. And with that being said, guys, let's get into this.
Kendrick made you think about it, but he is not your savior. Cole made you feel empowered, but he is not your savior. Future said get a money counter, but he is not your savior. Brian made you give his flowers, but he is not your savior. He is not your savior.
And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X. And listeners, I don't know what the culture scientist is. She found a funnel cake store, and I haven't seen her since. I might put an APB out on her in the next 24 hours. So you let us know. If you see her in these streets, if she got like the little sugar powder on her face, don't ask no questions. But here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly, honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2022 and 2023. Mike, thank you, listeners, for all the love, support, and everything, you guys. Run up the numbers from our previous episode where, I don't know why I do this to myself, where we had a very interesting conversation about what we would draft for fruit. And let's just say Nicholas gonna niggle it. And shit went left very quickly. But yeah, just run those numbers up, man. In general, just share with a friend. Women, don't go on your men's phone. But if you do, go to his podcast, subscribe to us. Then you go in the group chat and you share it with all your friends. Stop looking at those certain pics that you can't share in front of your parents. And we're just going to move on. All right. So with that being said, we're just going to go ahead and introduce our guest. So it's a brother's pod this week. We're going to keep it really close-knit. We're going to have a brother's discussion. This is a returning guest. He was on with us, I want to say, was it season one? Might have been either season one or season two. We had a discussion about what it means to be a man, I think. Season two. Thank you. And it's so great to be able to get him back in here. He phenomenal, very much works in athletics. I'm going to put his personal business out there because, you know, can't have that. But just phenomenal brother. Love him to death. My boy, Drewski, introduce yourself.
What's going on, everyone? Of course, it's Drewski. Go by a whole bunch of nicknames, but I'll leave that out the chat this time. I ain't going to tell anybody any of the other names that they've given me all throughout college and after college. But it's great to be back, kicking it with the fellas. You know, I'm always appreciative when you guys invite me. And let's get it ready. Let's get it ready to roll. You know, Dion, prime time.
Yes, sir. All right, man. My man got the macho man Randy Savage shirt on right now. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
When I get you, you're going to make sure that you get pain. Anywho.
Stay off the weed.
Okay, yeah, that was stupid even for me. Anywho, it's your favorite fan, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, and subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. A few quick things. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support and for always coming up with great content and great conversations. Number two, if y'all let this motherfucker, Mango Mussolini-ass Trump, try to destroy the Constitution, this is literally the movie Idiocracy. This is literally that movie, like to a T. Why are you giving the plants Gatorade? It's got electrolytes. What, the plants crave? No, it's just not that.
it don't work like that.
It does not. And then lastly, just understand, folks, that when you're dealing with the type of relationship like the one we are about to talk about, be careful, okay? Because I understand that I make a joke, but this next topic we're going to bring up, I don't think they want to make the pain that Macho Man Randy Savage be used to getting. I don't think they want to have that in this one.
Before I say my ignorant comment, shout out to Georgia for getting it right with getting, I believe, he's your fraternal brother, Drewski. Remind me of my brother's name again?
Brother, Reverend Brother. Oof. Or not.
Your mom has
Hey.
times.
Hey, Georgia voted. And
Hey.
I big kudos to Georgia, because without them, it would have been
What?
another
If we had
long 2 years.
dog. That man, they yes, Mr. Smith.
Look, I just gotta say this one thing. I make sure that I, as I'm saying this in my head, I'm already like counteracting my statement. I understand that Georgia as a whole is a state. Atlanta is a city, even though when everyone, as us black people, when we think of Georgia, we think of Atlanta. We don't think of anything outside of Atlanta. So Atlanta's black. Everything else in Georgia is pretty much white. But when you have a bumbling idiot like Herschel Walker, who talked about fucking werewolves and vampires, and this nigga still got majority of the white vote, that is some scary shit. And I don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but white people, I don't want to hear y'all complain about shit. If especially white women, if y'all lose y'all reproductive rights, or if you lose any other type of right that you have as a woman, if these white men get what they want and take you back to the 50s, I don't want to hear shit because y'all brought that on yourselves. But that's just me.
Facts. But getting back to the ignorance time, I was going to say, getting to this first topic, Mr. Smith, I believe there is a wise man who I don't remember who he was, but he had a very wise statement. It's like, don't put your dick in crazy. And I believe that is a very accurate definition of this next couple's relationship. For listeners, for who those who do not know, there is an artist by the name of Blueface. He attempts to rap. I say attempts to rap because you can't rap on beat. And his significant other, Chrisean Rock, like she be
Yeah.
fighting like she Dwayne the Rock Johnson, the way she be fighting. But they decided to go on a Twitch and like a big streamer by the name of Kai Cenat or Cenat.
I think it's Sonat.
Kai Cenat, I mean, very big. If you're into like the streaming community, he just got like Streamer of the Year at the Streamies, I believe it is. Phenomenal dude. Like he put in the work to be able to get where he's at right now, and just shout out to him. But he decided to have them come onto one of his streams. So they pull up into to his house, I believe it is. Correct me if I'm wrong. If the house or the
Yes.
house that he streams in, and he's in the room. So they're sitting down. Everything's cool. And yeah, this is play the clip.
This one work.
Yeah, cause this is a little.
Whoa,
My bad,
whoa,
Chad.
whoa. Wait, you put a hole in my wall.
You're rich. You can fix it.
God, you just put a hole in my wall.
What's that right there? That's a video game?
Yeah.
First and foremost, I don't know, like sometimes people who see shit that belonged to them gets broken. You realize after a certain point when you start buying your own shit, when you realize you start calculating that math that makes you gaze off into the distance, when you're trying to figure out like, motherfucker, I gotta pay for this. I gotta figure out, I gotta call people, I gotta get an estimate. Nigga, that's gonna affect my streaming, that's gonna be money out my pocket. Not alone, we're gonna talk about Shawty Lee pulled up a chair when there was a full chair that she could have sat down on to begin with. Takes the folding chair, throws it like she's one of the Dudley brothers, and says, like, all right, you be okay. Like, my nigga, and you sit down in the spot where you could have sat to begin with. And you just look like his whole persona just, all right, I'm done. All right, I'm gonna fuck with you. Because it's just like, dog, you really put a hole in my wall. And she had the nerve-dacity to say, you rich, you can fix it.
Emotional damage.
Nigga, that's my money, not yours. You the one that got the rapper boyfriend with the big ass chains on and all them rings on, drinking a bottle of Hennessy, looking like black ignorance. Y'all have any thoughts? Cause I, Mrs. Smith.
One, you are on one with these wrestling references tonight.
No, she built like the WWE Women's Champion.
Wow.
Oh, I'm gonna leave that one alone. Okay, one, when you listeners, I'm sure y'all have seen the clip at this point. When you look at Blueface's face, he looks terrified. Like, he looks like this woman will beat my ass if I try to run away. Two, as Brother X stated, It's the nerdacity that you threw a chair in this nigga's house, patted him on the back like, my bad, champ. And then when he looks at you like, yo, you put a hole in my wall. The next thing out your mouth is, you're rich, you can fix it. What if he was saving for another house and he was making sure all his money was tied up in there? What if he had money in stocks? What if he had things that he had to pay off for his family, for his friends, if he has children? I don't know his life, but the fact that you had the nerve to just straight assume, oh, you're rich, you can take care of it, but you don't know this nigga's life. What if somebody was to take all of your hair products and just flush them down the toilet along with your makeup, and then at the end of it be like, you're rich, you can fix it. Then what?
Listeners, for those who don't know, and I'll let Drewski go in a moment. If you did that, Mrs. Smith, she might give you the two-piece combo. No business.
Oh no. If I did that, I'm dead. Like it's not even.
Like she got them hands. Like, I know we joke and talk about them hands ready to eat for everyone.
Mm-hmm. That like, dumbbell set might be over your neck.
About that life, all star.
Most definitely.
Go ahead, Drewski.
I just, you know, y'all mentioned, I just don't get it. But then the crazy part is the bodyguards in the back. They're just chilling. Like, that's normal behavior. Like, y'all been around them that much that y'all know this is what violence and abuse look like? Y'all just going to let them do their thing and then worry about it when the police come? Like,
dog, they the epitome of, dog, I don't get paid enough for that.
No, I can see now. This was their conversation. Damn, bro. So she put the chair through the damn wall. Well, I mean, it wasn't like last time. Remember last time she put the little medicine ball through the wall? Yeah, that was a funny-ass shit. I ain't like having to beat them two homeboys up, though. I mean, but they shouldn't have got on them, though. Yeah. You know, we need to get paid more for the type of shit that they be putting us through. You know what? You right. Like, that's the kind of conversation they probably had back there as they're just sitting there on their phone like, you put a folding chair through a wall? Who does that?
It just lets me know that ain't what we want, bros. That ain't what we want at all.
That is not what I was hoping for. Get you on the stream, dog. You can look at Kai's face. I mean, Kai's homeboy's face. Like, he literally stands there because he's a vertically challenged person, is what it looks like. And you just see the look in his eyes. Like, he looked back at Kai, and he looked at Krishan. Then he looks back at the wall. And now he looks back at Krishan. He's like, oh, that shit look expensive. Oh, man. But listen to this. For those who don't know, a little bit of background information. Krishan, Rock, and Blueface have had, at best, a toxic relationship. Like, they should have been broken up multiple times. Like, we do not... It would take a whole podcast to talk about the list of things that they've gone through where they should have broken up. Like, them fighting in the streets, her and her screwed-in tooth, which, dog, that is... I never want my significant other to ever feel that. Like, you need to show me your love by having that screwed in too. Got his whole face tatted on your neck, looking like a comic strip. Like, why?
Why?
We literally could just pull up a whole reel and play an entire episode of all the shit that just be going on. It's like, at what point do you realize this shit ain't normal? Like, you don't have enough people in your life to be able to tell you this shit is not normal.
That was a mean two-piece right there, but it reminds me of that Kevin Hart special. He was like, no, I love him. Like, are you serious?
Like, you love him, like one, for Blueface, and I know this is ignorant and this is not a fair assessment. Is the shit that good? Like, you fucking crazy that much? Like there is a scale. And listeners, for those who don't know, for some men, not all men, not here on this podcast, because we black men do not cheat, and we are very wholesome men, you know that. We have Bible study, all those things. But there is a chart on the level of crazy versus how attractive you are. For my personal opinion, Krishan Rock is not high enough on the attractive scale for it to intersect on the X and Y axis for you to be able to say that, yeah, I'll deal with that level of crazy. And Krishan Rock, ma'am, if you really wanted to, you could bully yourself into another significant other. You do not need him. He don't need you. And Shawty, you have to look at your before pictures. You look so different. Here's how the crazy part. I knew that she really is like an athlete and like a beast. Not even like the football videos, not anything else like that. There was a one season show called Tag on Fox, where it's like basically had to run around. Like, she was a beast. Like, one, Blueface, you need to know, you're not outrunning her. So if you say some slick shit, she's gonna walk you down like DK Metcalf. Tell me I'm wrong. Did she not in that one fight?
She did walk her
down. Like, dog, that is the epitome of, like, dog, that's not healthy.
No, I was.
A lot of people thought Future and Sierra was.
Ooh.
I'm a piggyback off of that. I'm glad you brought that up. I literally was gonna bring up that point. When I saw her in that tag clip, I was like, yo, she is moving. Like, I ain't gonna lie, she might run a 4-5 as a speed back. Like, she got that speed on her.
Right.
And like you said, when you look at those past things, and listeners, we want to make sure we're clear. Obviously, we know as you get older and as things goes on, you know, body changes. We're not saying anything like that. But we're saying, if you were to take what she looked like, even just face-wise, from then until now, one, you know, that's drugs. And two, you know, that's a whole bunch of other stuff that we ain't going to talk about. But right. Even if you were to just take that away and you just have the average, you know, going from athletic to, you know, sedentary lifestyle, you shouldn't have those anger issues that you have. Like literally, I feel like if Blueface even looks off wrong, she going after his neck. And he is not innocent in this at all, because he's definitely done this to a lot of other people. But at the same time, it's like, you got to know when leave crazy alone, especially in men. I've said this before, not even men, anybody. I've said this before. Yes. The most attractive person in the world, you can be like, I don't know how such and such cheated on them or whatever. Oh my God, things I would do. I'm like, you show me the most attractive person in the world, and I'll show you five people that are irritated at that person and frustrated. That's literally. That's
fucking exactly.
Like, yes. Damn.
Hey, while we at it, yes. Me alone, fucking Halle Berry.
Yeah. Oops. But okay, on Halle Berry's point though, she is a little crazy. Cause I done heard some shit about Halle Berry. I don't know if I want to take that chance.
I'm gonna raise you a notch then. Cause what type of crazy are we talking about?
Right. Hold on. We gonna get back on podcast in a second. Cue the music, bro. Let's talk. listeners, when we were younger, we have all experienced there as a young lady, or for you guys, you know, male, for our female listeners, that you dealt with someone who you just know wasn't quite right in the head, but you look past it. Like, I'm gonna be frank, the pooty wop was pooty whopping, or the dick was dingling, or whatever it needed to be, and it made you make some poor decisions. Whether that's buying niggas that they didn't need, buying shit for them they didn't need, or spending money on young lady for something that you were not gonna get any more of. Am I wrong? Am I not speaking the truth?
No, you're speaking nothing but 100% facts, brother.
Facts.
Because you gotta understand, like, at some point in your ability to assess relationships and women that you like, if she looks like she grew up eating hot Cheetos and had that perfect, that fluffy baby fat jacket on in high school, and she still look like, act like that now, then you better walk the other way. You better turn slowly and walk, because if you run, they smell fear and they're going to attack you.
we need them holy sanctified women. They should have changed by then.
You would think at some point, it's like, you got to fight every day? Like, I know Shawty probably at least once or twice fought at 7:20 in the morning, fresh off the bus, no book bag, no notepad, no pencil, just got hands and black Air Force. That's all she had.
And I don't want people to think, you know, we glorifying anything that they're doing, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm sad to see this situation happen. And it happens a lot more, you know, it's just that they put out in public with it. But it sucks that it's happening, you know, that they feel like, you know, the abuse to each other for them is what makes them like each other and love each other. And I'm like, It just don't make sense to me.
No, it definitely doesn't. I at the end of the day, as I've always said, all we want is peace of mind and peace in life. And if we get that, everything else will work out in itself.
Like, my man was focused on the wrong piece. He was focused on that two piece, no biscuit.
He got two piece in the biscuit.
That so, Popeye's biscuit at that.
No, she got, you know what she did? Whenever she fight Blueface, she got like two Popeye's biscuits in her hands. Oh, that's why them shits hurt so much.
God.
She carried bricks in a pot in her hands.
Them biscuits had to been dry because she ain't had no honey on them things. Normally you got the honey hot sauce.
Hey,
ain't she sweet? Alright, in all seriousness, man, we pray that whatever their situation is, they find something that's amicable and safe and they get the help that they need. If they do feel like there's something that's able to work through long term. But from my personal opinion, you should have been let this shit go. Like, you could be toxic all by yourself. But we're going to go ahead and move into what some may deem as a very toxic situation. For those who have been living under a proverbial rock or living in the Caucasus Mountains, a man by the name of Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Prime Time, a.k.a. the Bandit Houdini himself, just know that he was the head coach of the Jackson State Tigers, I believe it is, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, it's the Tigers, correct?
Yes.
And to talk more about that, I'm going to have and turn the floor over to Mr. Smith for his Sports Center. Play the copyrighted music.
Okay. So, of course, you guys know this has been like the talk of the town throughout all of social media, right? So, Deion Sanders, if you don't know, he is an all-time all-pro retired cornerback. I mean, he played for the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Falcons. I think he played for one other team besides that. But
49ers.
He did play for the 49ers. I forgot about that. I knew there was another team he did. So, you know, he was literally Mr. Lockdown, high-stepping in the end zone, all that. His brashness is what made him a persona, right? And he, about 2 or 3 years ago, decided that he was going to take a coaching job at Jackson State University. And his words were, why not an HBCU? We need to put our focus on, you know, uplifting HBCUs and have more people take a look at them because they are, you know, a building block of society in America. And so when he got to Jackson State, he signed a 4-year, $1.4 million deal with the university to coach there. And right off the bat, he donated half his salary in order to upgrade the facilities for the football team, right? Now, of course, you know, when you have somebody that is a all-pro, you know, been in the game, knows how to read film, like, I mean, you're talking somebody that literally has been on, when he was on the Cowboys, or it was either the Cowboys or the Falcons, I can't remember which one, he would be on flights, rewatching a play like 30 times and just saying, oh, I know exactly what route he's going to run by the way he switches his hands. If his hands is up, he's going to be doing a block. If his hands are down, he's going deep. If his hands are shifted to the left, he's going to do a slant route. Like, he studies the game very well. So he is an excellent person to coach for the next generation of talent. And one of the biggest things that he was able to pull off, the number two recruit in the nation, Travis Hunter, who was supposed to either look at by Florida State and a couple of other Power Five top schools you can name of, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, you name it, decided to go to Jackson State University. And a lot of people were shocked because they're like, wait, like, do you realize that you're going to, you know, mess up your NFL future by going to this, as they put it, mediocre school? And I remember, I believe, and I might be wrong, listeners, don't quote me on this, but I believe Sanders' words were, he's going to ball wherever. And the scouts are going to see it wherever. If he balls, he balls, and he's going to make the NFL. So, you know, of course, which I'll hold off for another piece of it, he decided after 3 years that he was taking the job off, the head coaching job at Colorado in Boulder, to be the head coach there. And a lot of people were up in arms because they were stating that, you know, like, hey, You said, you know, we need to really look into how HBCUs, like, giving back to them and making sure that, you know, we do what we need to do. And now you're going to leave right in the middle of it. Like, you're supposed to be the leader, and you're leaving. Now, of course, I'm going to tee it back up to Brother X, but just my quick, like, first opinion on it, I'm conflicted. Not even going to lie. On one end, I get it. Because if you're telling me at one place, I'm going to a four-year, $1.4 million deal, all right, cool. At the other place, I'm getting a five-year, $30 million deal.
Sheesh!
That means my whole salary just multiplied five times per year. Right? That's one thing. But then on the other thing, it's like, you know, dang, like, you really put the spotlight on HBCUs. We were hoping that you would have maybe continued it for maybe at least another year and really put all the spotlight. Like, you did a lot of work, which we're going to get into, but we just kind of wish that you would have been there just a little bit longer. But Brother X, I'll kick it back to you.
Honestly, like, some things that initially, like, my initial thoughts that come to mind is, like, job's not finished. And the moral words of Kobe Bryant. That I think that if you say and your words carry weight and you make a commitment to doing a task that you, that is a heavy burden that you yourself tried to sell that you were going to take on, you were going to be leader of, like, to lead this resurgence, to change the lifestyle, change the landscape, which in a small way you did. You gave us a cupcake, but you promised a dessert table. And ultimately, what you gave us, you, in my mind, you didn't see the process all the way through, because, yes, Jackson State was a strong program prior to and all this stuff going on. You were given a opportunity that I personally feel like you could have seen further through. But again, we're not going to knock anybody to get their coins, get their ducats, whether you are a millionaire and you're trying to become a billionaire. That's one thing I want to make sure it's not lost in this conversation. It's like, our discussion is not about whether or not he should get his money. Hell, every rich person will tell you, no, I won't take a lesser job because I don't want more money. Every rich person stays rich because they want more money. Don't let them tell you otherwise. But ultimately, I think where, like you, Mr. Smith, I'm pleased because I think there's two points to it. It's like, I've likened it to a car salesman. You sell me a product or a vision of what this car is going to be, what it can do for me. I can get it done. You'll be able to have all these little bells and whistles. We can get to you for a certain price. We can make it work, is what he initially offered. But once you get down to the nitty gritty and, like, you got to get the car, and then, like, that first hiccup comes. So it's like, oh, well, I got to move on to the next customer. That's something else. Where it's like, you started off strong, and for my small amount of knowledge and understanding of, like, building a program, you don't truly get to see what a program looks like based under a coach's vision until maybe, like, third, fourth, maybe even fifth year. Like, this whole notion that you have coaches that can turn the whole program in 1 year, that's an anomaly, not the standard. And you have to keep that in mind when you're looking at jumping from one place to another. What hurts, and we'll get into a little bit more, is that you wanted to create this family and this unique environment. You wanted to have the HBCU experience that some people like to say they get at PWIs. It's like the whole thing is like, you want our joy, but you don't want our blues. I forget the exact term for it, but if that makes sense. So Mr. Smith.
No, I just wanted to make sure to complete it. Shout out to Queen C for always saying this. They always want our rhythm, but they don't want our blues.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that, honestly, I think that's part of it. But to get into other parts of it, the dialogue that I've seen both on social media and through, like, different figures like Bomani Jones, shout out to him from North Carolina and his connections to Central and other HBCUs like Texas Southern, had an excellent conversation that he did on, I believe it was CNN, was where he did the interview. And I think it's like, you were given an opportunity. You got the fast track to become a head coach when you didn't necessarily want to be a defensive back coach. And I think ultimately where I feel like it falls is that you don't have to give us all the pomp and circumstances. If you said, hey, I wanted to take an opportunity here, I want to build a program, just lie to us like the white folks lied to us as football coaches. Like, just don't sell me the $1 million dream when you're only going to give me the quarter mil. That's really all we really are asking for, at least in my opinion. We're not asking for you to be this savior, to take all this out on yourself and to be like create all these different changes. Like, you don't get held accountable to something you don't hate and you never commit to. If you don't verbalize these things, people can't truly hold you to those words. Because if you literally had a conference where they play back what you said when you first came in and what you're saying now, an average person is going crazy like, so what changed? And when people don't follow sports like some people do, the first thing they're going to look at is like, oh, you get paid to do this. They're going to look at how much money you're getting. Oh, you're taking a money jump. Oh, you went to what some many people deem as the easier route. But that's just my take on it. Drewski, as our resident athletics person.
Oh, man, it's so many ways to go with this. But I've been, you know, it's been a toss up for me because being in that environment, especially, you know, at an HBCU in an athletic environment and then seeing it from outside looking in, you know, I've seen the good he's done and I've seen the good he can continue to do. But you mentioned we only got a piece. But then sometimes it makes me think, well, what if he finished out his 4 years? You know, and they didn't offer him, even though they would be stupid not to offer him another 3 or 4 year contract. But what if he finished out his 4 years and then left? Or it also made me think, what if he, you know, went to a different school outside of Colorado? You know, I'm reading the blogs and seeing a lot of the reports. Some people were like, had it been Florida State, you know, where he went to play, or had it been someplace else, oh, they would have been rooting for him. But Boulder? Colorado? The team that was, what, 1-11 last year? Like, does he feel like he can turn them around? That's it. Does he feel like he can turn them around like he's turned Jackson State around in terms of football program by taking the black recruits who he wanted, the top recruits to come to a HBCU, and now take them to a PWI? I'm lost on that. But I understand everybody got to eat. And he's and what I've learned is his team around him, he's making sure they eat. And I appreciate him for that. You know, he's using some of his salary to what? Help facilities, help coaches, help pay for things. Shoot, he even helped one of the other schools early this year because they couldn't practice or their facilities weren't up to par. And he said they can come use their stuff. Like, I appreciate him for that, but the job won't done.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't fault him, you know. But I'm glad he got the opportunity.
Yeah. There is a level of duality to the conversation. It's like, I think it speaks to a broader point of, with I won't use the term within the black community. I'll talk about people in general, that it is a lost art to both be appreciative and critical at the same time. Just like, funny enough, unhealthy relationship, talking about Krishan and Mace. Oh, well, he hasn't been hurtful to me this time, or we haven't had a bad moment in quite some time. It's like, yes, that's true. You're appreciative that there are some good moments, but you can also critique the fact that y'all fighting in the streets. You got issues with his baby mama. You got these face tattoos. Like, there is a physical change in your appearance from when you were beginning with this person to where you are now. And it's the same thing. It was like, we see what, I think what hurts is that we saw what it could be. We got a glimpse of what the change that he said he wanted to bring in there. And then it feels like it's taken away because I don't know if Drewski, you can speak to it, but I thought me and Mr. Smith were talking about it the other day, was like that decision to go to the University of Colorado at Boulder doesn't happen within a week. Those conversations happen multiple weeks out. So my question is, if I'm looking at the players are probably wondering, like, you hearing these rumblings, oh, he's considering maybe leaving. It's like, how do you trust what a coach is trying to build? You and I, all of us have played football or played in like a team sport. It was like that locker room and their trust in the coach that you're going to lead us and you're going to be there and have our best interest. You got parents who are probably looking at them like, I sent my child from California, from New York, from St. Louis, from all these other different places to Jackson, Mississippi, which I'm not going to knock because, hey, it is a different rural area that I have not been a part of, so I will not judge it. But to send them there with the hope and trust that, hey, I'm going to trust you with my son or daughter to build them up to be to this point, and you didn't fulfill on it. It's like, you sold me a dream, which, again, I want to make sure it's clear. This is not something that he just did on himself, and he's the only person. If it's a PWI white coach anywhere, they do the same exact thing, which is why I'm always in full support of students being able to use the transfer portal whenever they need to. If coaches can do it, so can players. But that's a whole nother conversation. Mr. Smith?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of my next points, right? One of the reasons that this really hurts, and I'm only going to speak for myself, I'm almost certain that a lot of us Black folks feel this way, but when you think of college football, right, first team everyone even thinks of is Alabama Crimson Tide. Why? Because they win just about every fucking year. They ain't going to win this year because they got two losses, but we ain't going to go there. I know, right? But, you know, when you think of Alabama, you think of Nick Saban. Like, I can almost imagine Nick Saban going on recruiting trips, and all he's going to do is just bring out his rings and say, you want one of these? Come to Bama. And that's all he's got to say. That's it. Same with Harbaugh in Michigan, or if you do Dabo in Clemson. Like, you go there because the coach has proven that they will get you to the promised land, as you just stated. You have the trust of the coach, the coaching staff, the facilities, the players. That cohesiveness is why they're in the CFP every freaking year. You always see Bama, Ohio State, you see Clemson. Now, granted, this year's a little bit of an anomaly. It's kind of weird, but, you know, Hey, shit happens. But, you know, between what is it, Georgia, TCU, Michigan, and Ohio State?
Yep.
Is that the four?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, like, TCU, granted, that's a great program, but you just never expect them, right? The other three, at some points, randomly, you'll get it, especially since Georgia's repeating. But that's kind of how I felt Dion was going to be for Jackson State. And that's exactly kind of how it played out, right? You get the number two recruit in Travis Hunter to come to Jackson State. Again, we can only do hypotheticals. Let's say a couple years down the line, if he was to just stay at Jackson State and build that program to be like a powerhouse like a Bama or a Clemson or, you know, a Michigan, just imagine. The five-star, if you're talking about a stack of five-star recruits, especially on the defensive side, because you know they're going to go there to get tutelage from the great Deion Sanders, imagine what that looks like if they were to ever be able to be placed in a CFP. That would blow minds. And So that's kind of why this hurts a little bit more, because it's like this was almost kind of like our opportunity to kind of break into it, even though technically speaking, we are this, and correct me if I'm wrong, we are the CFP and those schools are CFB, which means they're bowl eligible. And so it's a little off, but I just kind of sometimes think of that. And then as you stated, Brother X, the fact that, okay, you're leaving is one thing. You leaving and taking your top recruits with you is like, damn.
It's not just like you're leaving it better than you found it, which in some ways you have. There's no disputing that. But it's almost like you took two steps forward and like three steps back, because it's like you took the quarterback. You taking what I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're taking that number one recruit with you and a bunch of other players. You even said it in your opening like meeting with the team saying, hey, I got some players coming in. Y'all may need to figure out what you're doing. Which, side note, you are a nigga. You are a bad cop.
He said, I got Louie.
You better win if you say some shit like that.
He said, I got Louie and I got 10 guys or something like that. And then the rest of y'all might be in the portal by Monday. And I'm like,
Nigga.
You talking hot shit. I promise you, if you fuck up, if this team does not see a significant change in year one, niggas gonna be on his head like he played defense, like they playing defense like he did.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith and Drewski, yeah.
Okay, so I just want to make two points to that. Number one, that, like you said, that whole first meeting, bruh, if I'm any of them players, I'm like, I feel like shit. just the fact this nigga said, I'm bringing my baggage with me, and it's Louis. So, quarterback, go ahead and transfer portal, because I already got somebody coming with me. Like, God damn. Granted, at the same time, nigga, y'all 1-11.
You don't have a lot to say. But you it's don't. Like, but it's the microscope effect, man.
Right.
You have now put a bullseye on yourself by the moves that you are making, mm-hmm. and any goodwill that you built up, it's going to get tested real quick, because winning will solve a lot of things. But if you struggle, because Colorado's in the Pac-10?
Pac-12,
I'm sorry. Now, which of all the Power Five, that's probably the easiest one to win, if I'm not mistaken. So you have he has an opportunity to be successful. So if he wins, Nitz can't say shit. But if you lose, and you took more money just to lose at a bigger program, I mean, hey, money solves a lot of problems, but damn.
He coming in on the high that, you know, Oregon and USC are on their way out. You know, those schools are going to the other conferences. And right now, you know, you got Washington who could possibly leave. You know, Utah just won the Pac-12 this year, but you got to compete with that. You got to compete with teams that have heart, that like, oh, Deion think he coming into Pac-12 to run things. Colorado was 1-11 for a reason last year, not just because the coach, but because them guys didn't believe in what they were doing themselves. And I hope all the nonsense and, you know, the talking he's doing, his son, you know, got recruited for SEC school, but he didn't like where he was. And that's why he went to Jackson State to be with his dad. And the other one, they love Jackson State. And if you know you're that close to graduation, I'm not leaving the HBCU to go to a PWI. I'm in the culture now.
Facts.
Right. Like, I'm not leaving baked mac and cheese and fried chicken Wednesday to go to potato salad and green bean casserole Wednesdays.
Bro, they in Jackson, Mississippi, and I got fam in the sip in Jackson. We talking fried pork chops, scrapple, chitlins. We talking all that, cornbread every day. And you talking about you about to go to somebody who puts raisins in mac and cheese. Hell no.
Ain't no fucking way, dog. Like, they talk about they're going to play his theme music. That's going to be, like, the traditional marching song.
Okay. I am so glad you brought that up. To the person that said, I can't wait for this energy when they saw Deion trying to, like, I guess be like a, what's it called? Conductor. Not a drummer. The conductor of music. And the band's bumping. Okay, white people understand this. You're getting the coach. You're not getting the culture, okay? That culture stays at HBCU. If you and you know this, because when you see an HBCU band up against a PWI band, again, it is baked mac and cheese versus raisins and potato salad. Like it cannot compare. If I was to hear, you know, you could the other song, the other team could play, we'll say Michael Jackson, right? And it might be good. But if an HBCU band played Michael Jackson, you feel the soul in that motherfucker.
You get that stank. You get that stank they put on.
You ain't just getting the music. You getting the dance line, who's up there moving and grooving. You getting the flag girls. You getting the drum majors that doing things that like, yo, everybody is moving. You ain't getting these lines forming these all these formations of, you know, happy faces and stuff. You getting real live music.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just like, it speaks to a point that some people was like, it speaks to a bigger conversation of there is a lot of people in the Black community who feel like historically we have been told both internally and externally that in order to be successful, you can't just go to HBCU. The whole concept of how are you going to go to HBCU when it doesn't reflect the real world? Dog, if I wanted to reflect the real world, I would go to PWI and not be called a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
But, and ultimately it's like, we don't have that many spaces to be our authentic selves 100% of the time, because no matter what any African-American student tells you, there is a certain level of thought process they have to filter themselves down to be at a PWI.
Yep.
Because I promise you, some of them African-American dudes that's on the football team, I promise you, some of these little white girls that are thirsting after them would not want to see their full nigga self.
Facts.
That's just being real.
Big facts. Like,
that's just because it's like, if we being honest, it's like But to get back to my point before I get too off track, is this that there's a whole sense of like, are we not enough? Mm-hmm. And there is a whole combative like conversation of like, where do we find that balance of, am I just going for X, Y, and Z reason? Your reasons are your reasons, but there's people who feel like, but you could have done the same thing here and be celebrated. Like, there are coaches who have been at historical programs like South Carolina State, Grambling, Southern, all these other HBCUs, Hampton, shout out to the Pirates, of course. But yes, I always got to put that in there.
Of course.
All these HBCUs. I mean, we can't talk about Dog Park University. I don't know about
that. But that's what makes it hurt the most, Brother X. That's because we love our culture. And, like, you know, we're the first ones to hold ourselves accountable. But it hurts the most because of what he wanted to do. And we haven't had anybody who has brought this much excitement to all of us in so long. Like, you know, the social media aspect of what he's done, you know, with them putting videos out here every day, you know, the people that he's brought, celebrities, actresses, rappers, you know, all those people he's brought to their games, like their stands, they always had good attendance, but their stands, they what, seating almost 55,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, their homecoming did numbers.
And like other homecomings, other schools, we may, for the game, we may get what, maybe $5,000 to $10,000, but they got $50,000? Are you serious? Like, and it sucks because we thought he was the one that was going to, you know, just put us a little bit more in that perspective. You know, he got the lucrative TV deals for them. They've been on what, ESPN mostly, what, 7 games this season. Yeah. He got that. They got an Under Armour. He's always been Under Armour, but he got them Under Armour. Like, they got a new facility. They about to build them a brand new stadium that got approved in the next few years. Like, why can't other schools do it? Why can't we do it?
Yeah, crazy analogy. It's like, to nerd out for a second, it's like the Star Wars thing where it's like talking about like Anakin, you were supposed to bring balance to the Force, not join the Sith. Like all those things was like, we're not saying that the weight of changing things in college football and college athletics in the college landscape was all on the shoulders of Deion. We're saying that, damn, we lost a golden opportunity to make this a lifestyle, make this a generational thing, which we talk about all the time. It's like, it's not about a great story of, oh, you remember from X year to this year, this HBCU saw an increase of everything there. It was phenomenal. We don't want it to be a sweet story or a ESPN 30 for 30, but which I'm sure they're going to do some shit about this in the future. I bet money on that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also just like, but you know, like for some people, it's like, damn, are we ever going to get another opportunity like that? Because to an old adage, whenever one black person fucks up, 100 black people got to pay for it.
You know, so who all eyes another, are on them? And I hate that all eyes right now are on Eddie George because his contract is over in 2025 at Tennessee State, and he hasn't done as well as Deion has. But what's going to happen with him?
Yeah, so that's just a big part.
So it's it's like when LeBron left Cleveland for the first time and went to Miami, like nobody was mad that he left for Miami. It was the way that he did it, right? Everybody else that wanted to join up for Miami, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, they went through the normal channels, went through the Players Tribune, set off a, you know, as if I'm, shout out to Kid Fury and Crystal, that would say an iPhone press release when it comes to it, right? But instead, he had this whole special, which took an hour, my nigga. And at, I think, what, like the 56-minute mark is when he was like, okay, this year, I'm taking myself out to South Beach. It was like, nigga, you could have saved us an hour and just said it, and we'd have been fine. Now, granted, yes, because of the way he did it, people burned his jersey, da-da-da-da, whatever. But you notice that he learned from that, and every time that he moved on from there, it's either been Woj or Schefter put it out there, or he went to the Players Tribune. The last one being the Lakers, he went to the Players Tribune. In this case, you're talking about somebody who broadcasted that he was going to really put forth this effort and put us on the map. And to his credit, he did what he said he was going to do. As Drewski and Brother X said, how many games were they on at ESPN? New facilities, sponsored by Under Armour. All these different things that you would see at other sports, other collegiate institutions that are big Power Five schools. But it's just like we always said, the job was not finished. There was so much more that could have been done. And, you know, like it hurts. But at the same time, if you are an HBCU, whether current student went there and had to transfer or alumni or whatever, you understand based on how the school is crafted and the funding that we get from it that sometimes it is what it is.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's like there comes a point in some conversations where people wonder, like, why does this keep happening with, like, having all these great coaches go to these other big schools? Or why is this smaller PWI losing their great coach to a mediocre at best program? And it's just like, they got money. And not to narrow everything down to just being a money conversation, but money changes a lot of people in a lot of situations. So everybody had to look at what's most important to them. Some, it's one of those things where it's like, we look for people to be these, not savior, but to be the champion of these causes when sometimes that's not their lane. Prime example, and then we can kind of tie things up a little bit, is that you look at when the stuff with Colin Kaepernick came out. You wanted some of these athletes to champion and they speak out like what was happening to him and like why he was kneeling. And although Colin Kaepernick explained all that and everything, like it was very clear, but people who don't want to listen, don't listen. Ultimately, you have some of these athletes who is like, dog. And I think Jamel Hill or someone else or Michael Smith explained is like, dog, if you not are truly equipped to wade into these waters, be like, hey, I'm going to sit this one out. And it's okay. Not everybody going to be on the front lines doing the demonstrations or the heavy work. Sometimes not saying something, as crazy it may sound, does more than anything. Funny enough, if Herschel Walker shut his mouth, man, it might have been different. We might have been talking about Georgia instead of Deion this episode.
Mm. That's true.
That is being honest.
That is true.
Which is sad. We've
been talking about vampires and werewolves.
It took niggas talking about fictional characters for them to do that.
He must have thought we were in Van Helsing.
He must have watched it the night before. Who knows? But it's just crazy. One thing I do want to say, and I think we kind of touched on a little bit, is that there were some conversations like in regards to Tennessee State and almost at A&T, like, this is how you know, like, stuff was moving, like chairs were being moving, and there's like people started feeling uncomfortable. That's when the real change happens, is that you got these Congress people or the state telling Tennessee State to pay the money because you're getting such a high enrollment or things are improving and things are getting better for HBCUs, that you literally have a I forget who it was, but it was a gentleman from North Carolina who literally was just questioning, like, why are all these students choosing to go to HBCUs instead of PWIs? Mind you, that's not his exact phrasing, but it was very layered or double speak, whatever the case may be, in regards to it, because it's like, you can see, oh, some of these white folks were shaking in their boots realizing, oh, this might actually happen. And I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist or anything else like that, but it's like, I'm sure there were some conversations had behind closed doors that will never see the light of day, where some of these big coaches was like, oh, if Deion can really do this, we might be in trouble, because I'm going to be honest. I've said it before. I am not a big fan of Dabo Swinney. Some of his stuff that he said in regards to all that stuff, I loved them as they're coming up in love with before all the information came out about Deshaun Watson. I love what I felt like he was building in contrast to Alabama. But you look at these coaches, you know, a lot of them really don't give a damn as long as you help them win to get more money.
Yep.
Fuck them talking about all this is a family and all this other stuff. Dog, you are a cog in a machine that's going to help produce more and print more money for them or for the university. So do what you need to do for your best interest. And we're going to say the same thing for Deion. It's more of like, we're happy for you, but damn. It's like, oh, the smart nigga moved out the hood. You're sad to see him go, but you're also like, I get it. Anybody have any final thoughts on it, Mrs. Drewski?
I'm with you, and I get it. You know, we want to, you know, we tell people a lot of times, you know, when you've made it to a certain point, move out the hood. It's okay. You
Right.
know, because the hood don't love nobody. The hood ain't gonna never love people. But if you do stay in the hood, find a way to change it from the hood to make something positive come out that community.
Exactly.
Like, do that. Like, we understand we underfunded. I mean, HBCUs have been struggling. We're looking at all this money that state governments are withholding from HBCUs. Like, just looking at the charts, like some in the hundreds of millions. These schools are not getting it. Why? Because the state doesn't want us to propel and excel like the other PWI institutions. And it's like, if we're pretty much all we got.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we got to make sure that, you know, we're treating those who work at HBCUs just as nice. You know, that's why a lot of people leave. And I hate to say it,
Yeah.
you know, a lot of us left because we weren't feeling like we were loved. We weren't feeling like, you know, we're getting what we needed, the resources and things that we saw others have. You know, we definitely weren't getting the pay.
That's
Shoot,
what. Yeah,
getting a
that's what.
third of what other people were getting paid. And I
Yeah.
was like, I'm supposed to survive on this. And I hear from all my former colleagues, we're supposed to do what? Oh, they have kids. Oh, how many kids' mouths you feeding with what you're bringing in? Like,
Yeah.
are we supposed to live like we're homeless? And I hate to use that phrase. Like, are we supposed to live like, you know, poverty? Like, that's not fair to us.
Yeah. Like I liken it to like the whole concept that it's like with teachers, like, oh, you need to do it for the culture, oh, you need to do it for the outcome, not the income. It's like, dog, that is a fallacy that people who have money say to people who don't have money to make you not feel so upset about your situation. Like ultimately, there are multiple pieces to this conversation. We can be happy that you are doing what's best for you. We can also be disappointed, but we can also recognize that, hey, if we want to keep these things here and this is what we're really about, because let me make something very clear. A lot of you folk from that didn't go to HBCU who had the opportunity when you were in undergrad and you're on the HBCU train, we about to see you real quick how big you are into really supporting it. Because once Dion leaves and all this shit settles down, are you still gonna be pumping up HBCU's pride, or is this just gonna be a fad like you treated some other movements?
That's
Like,
facts.
be about it. If you're gonna be about the action, be about the action. Don't have two-stepping. Like, if you want Dion to not two-step like he did into the end zone, you gotta be about this shit.
I got to see a halftime show on ESPN. I don't need them to cut to commercial and do advertisements. I want to see halftime.
Look,
give me all of it. Give me all of it.
all of it. I guess my final thought, honestly, is like we said, you know, understand that he's going for a better opportunity and to get him closer to, you know, being in contention for maybe the CFP or, you know, a championship that might hold a little bit more weight. Because maybe, like, we don't know what his final goal is. Maybe his final goal is to be a head coach in the NFL. We don't know. But it kind of goes into the underfunding of everything of what we talked about, right? If I'm sure if Jackson State had the money of a Colorado, a Boulder to give him, you know, that 5 year and had the standing to be able to play for the college football championship, then he wouldn't have went anywhere. He would have built that up. But as Drewski said, how many millions of dollars the state's holding from HBCUs in order to make sure that they don't propel and don't succeed? Hell, Brother X and Drewski have been on campus, and we've had times we've been like, man, I don't know how to make this gas work, but I'm gonna make it
We got a hope and a dream.
work. You know? But at the same time, as we said, we all we got, so we're gonna make sure that we good. And that's what an HBCU does. It makes you understand in the culture that we got you. If nobody else got you, that's, you know, PWIs. And for those that ask, why would you go? Because we know that when we go here, we are loved and we are understood and we will be gotten. Like, people are gonna be like, I got your back. The same way that Drewski had my back our freshman year, the same way I've had Brother X's back his freshman year when I was a senior. You know, all of that stuff plays into the culture, which is what will keep you there, right? As a student, as a coach, completely different story because, you know, there's optics, there's business things. And I want to make sure I'm clear on this. It's probably not even about the money. Let's be honest. Deion is kicked the hell up from playing two sports across five different teams, and he had a TV deal. That nigga got money. I ain't worried about that. I ain't trying to count his pockets.
Right.
But, you know, like, I understand that he's making sure that he excels up at that next level. He's not trying to, you know, stay consistent with the status quo. He's always trying to challenge. And, you know, to your credit about Eddie George, maybe that is part of the reason why Eddie George didn't succeed as well as Deion. To me, Deion Sanders is like Ray Lewis. If Deion gives a speech, you listen. Mm-hmm. And you are ready to run through a fucking wall at the time that he's done it. I had listened when they recorded his damn pregame speeches. I'd be like, nigga, I want to get on the field and hit somebody. The same exact way. And I put this on my Instagram the other day because I was working out. I watched the Madden 13. Yes, listeners, I aged myself. Madden 13 intro. And, you know, like the way he was talking, where he's just like, I've been told I'm not always good enough. I'm not fast enough. I don't have what it takes. And such had their heels, but I'm going to work harder so that nobody can take what's my, like, the way he talks, you were ready to run, and you're like, no one's going to beat me. And so I feel like that's probably what Eddie George is lacking, because I don't see Eddie George as that kind of person. Deion, I see, is that. I see Ray Lewis is that. I see, well, I would say Brady when he was with the Patriots, but that might be more so Belichick. But, you know,
that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, those types of personalities is what will gel that team together. And so I'm hoping that he's able to continue to have success at Colorado, because, of course, I'm never going to root for a black man's downfall unless you're Kanye West. But, you
know, or Herschel Walker.
Or Herschel Walker. But, you know, like, I hope that he continues to have this success. And, you know, like we said, it hurts. Because it hits home for us as an HBCU, but as an HBCU grad, student, alum, we understand.
Yeah.
Now, so, can I leave you with a final thought, Brother X and Mr. Smith?
Of course.
Will we see the rest of our HBCU coaches, will we see them band together if they want to see a change in what Deion was trying to make? Do you think it's possible? They, you know, we got the Celebration Bowl. We got that. We know that. But that can't be the final prize for us. No. If we want to be the biggest and the best, we got to compete and beat these other teams, you know, make it to the playoffs, the FCS, and beat these teams. Like, are we just going to stop here? To me, it feels like we kind of, you know, we're just doing it just to do it. Like, of course, that's guaranteed money for them. But why can't we band together and see what the, you know, see the real force that we can bring to the table to make the change that we need to make?
Honestly, two things, and we can finish on that. To your question, do I think it's possible? Yes. Do I think that it's the people who are in place are willing to do that? That remains to be seen, because it's almost like, I love my Hampton alumni. I was part of alumni chapter for a long time once I came out of school. But the mindset of those who have, it's twofold. You have to have the young folk who have the drive and the energy and the time to be able to push this movement forward. But on the other side, I think we talked about it before the show, you have to have the older alumni, or say like the universities, the coaches have to be the young folk that are pushing forward this agenda of like trying to make it bigger and better. The universities have to have the mission of trying to support them both financially and from a political standpoint. Because if a coach starts making too much noise and is bringing bad publicity to the university, whether right, wrong, or different, most universities are going to cut the coach before they back the coach, unless the coach has that outstanding record. So it requires a lot of work, which prayerful, I'll see it in my generation. Maybe I won't, but I want to see there, because we can't be pacified with the Celebration Bowl, because the Celebration Bowl has only been like around like 5, 6, not even 10 years, right?
Right, barely, yeah. Barely that. Not even like, almost close to 10 years, but not really.
Yeah, it's not even like oh yeah, here's your bowl, because like their teams are getting criminally not being selected for the playoffs. Like, I think it was Florida A&M was the team this year. That guy, mm-hmm.
They should have been in there.
They should have been in there. So it's like, I think it could happen, but it is going to take a prime time effort for it to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, shout out to Teacher Bay because we had a fun, somewhat heated sometimes conversation about this. But the transparent moment is when you look at a Deion Sanders, understand that he led a change in the culture. The question is, who's ready to step up and take the next step? Use that in your personal life to say, are you ready to take that next step? Are you ready to use what you've learned throughout this time that you were being, you know, coached of whatever situation that you've been in? And are you ready to say, okay, I'm ready to take the reins. Let me go ahead and do the next thing I need to do. Because shout out to Coach TC. He's going to have to do that now I'm going to say what it is. He's probably going to be the next head coach of Jackson State. You know, he's going to have to take over without the recruits and without Deion, and I'm sure he's going to do an amazing job because he was groomed under Deion. But use that in your own personal life and say, are you ready to take on those next reins after you've been coached throughout whatever you've been going through in life? Understand that it's going to keep going and you got to be ready to take on whatever obstacles. And no matter what, you know that, as we said, with HBCUs or with anything in Black culture, everybody's got your back, but you got to do your part.
Exactly. I think that is an excellent note to leave this conversation on. I want to first make sure that I let you guys know about all of our social media. Please continue the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. You can also check us out on our Twitter at TheTNTPod123. You can check us out at Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And you can always email us your thoughts, opinions, or any other topics you want us to discuss in the future. And you can email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. So for our guests, thank you, Drewski, for taking time out of your day. Mrs. Smith, thank you for taking some time away from the WWE with that shirt. thank you to all of our listeners for your support and love and running up all of our numbers. Thank you to the culture scientist, wherever she is, eating funnel cake, cream or body weight in funnel cake. But and thank you for me. And honestly, we just appreciate all the dialogue and conversation. But if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, my guests, our supporters, Mr. Smith, the culture scientist, myself, are forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Play my theme music.
The thing that alarms me the most is just because I'm leaving Jackson, they think that I'm leaving African Americans. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm Black. I can never leave who I am or what I am or how I am or how I go about being that. So it is still my task to look in that locker room and see 65 to 70% of African American men trying to help them get to the next level, as well as all the others. My calling is for young men, young women, and people of all walks of life, all social climates, and all ethnicities. That's my calling. My colleague is not built on a location. It's built on a destination. Now, that was good. You're supposed to clap for that. Darn it, that was good. You give me some of my good stuff. We just getting started. I already went in the bag, baby. Let's go.